Welcome to Storytime by Chava. Today's story is taken from the book Tales of Tzaddikim, Vayikra by Art Scroll, and is called The Tzaddik's Holy Vision. Even in his old age, Reb Leib Saraz, he was called this after his righteous mother, still traveled from place to place helping out his brethren. But he did not travel alone. He was accompanied by Rabbi Zriel, a Talmud of the Magid of Mezrich. Once, as they were nearing Vilna, they stopped at the inn of a wealthy Jew and took a room for the night. The next morning, before they were about to leave, Reb Leib asked Rabbi Zriel to summon the innkeeper to his room. When he stood before him, Reb Leib said, "I want you to go to the section of the city where the aristocracy lives. Go to the prince's palace and demand that he come to me at once. Tell him that Reb Leib Saraz wants to see him." The innkeeper looked at his guest as if he were mad. "What do you take me for, an utter fool, a madman? Don't you know that any Jew that steps foot on that street is as good as dead? And that prince, the king's son, has never had any dealings whatsoever with Jews. How can I dare walk into the lion's den and tell the prince that a Jew summons him?" Reb Leib spoke harshly to the innkeeper. "I see that my name does not mean anything to you. Well, let me tell you, if you do not do as I say, you will regret it." The words had hardly left his mouth when a cry was heard. The innkeeper's wife and children had suddenly been attacked by illness. The innkeeper ran to their side. They were in great pain and seemed about to die. With faltering steps, he returned and begged his guest to help him. "Your only hope is to do as I ordered. You must go to the prince at once," said Reb Leib, "before it is too late, and give him my message. Tell him that Leib Saraz wishes to see him at once. If you do so, your family will be healed." Trembling like a wind-blown leaf, the innkeeper started walking. He reached the exclusive neighborhood. To his surprise, nothing happened, and he quickly reached the prince's palace. He lifted the big brass knocker and let it fall. The doorman answered the knock. He did not even seem surprised to see a Jew upon the threshold. "What do you want?" he asked. "I want to see the prince. I have a message for him." The butler turned on his heel, returning in a moment. "The prince says that you are to be shown in." The Jew was quickly ushered into a large drawing room. Here the prince sat upon a luxurious armchair, not surprised at his visitor. The innkeeper delivered his message, his knees knocking and voice trembling. To his amazement, as soon as the prince heard him mention the name Leib Saraz, his face turned pale. He nodded. "I will come with you at once," the prince said. He donned a cloak, and shortly afterwards, they left the palace and went directly to the inn, where Reb Leib awaited them. Reb Leib dismissed the innkeeper, telling him to see how his family was faring. Meanwhile, he led the prince inside the room and shut the door. The two remained there for some time. Then the door opened, the prince left, and Reb Leib told Reb Azriel to prepare their wagon, for they would now continue their journey. The prince could not understand his own actions. What had prompted him to follow the Jewish innkeeper? What spell had that name Leib Saraz cast over him? He was thoroughly confused, for he had never heard that name before. What strange magnet had drawn him to the Jewish inn? As soon as he was back in his palace, he ordered his servants to go to the inn and fetch the elderly Jew, Reb Leib, to him at once. The servants returned empty-handed. The Jew had already left. Time passed, and the strange incident was forgotten. It was just before Pesach when misfortune befell the wealthy Jewish innkeeper. His non-Jewish servant had disappeared. Non-Jews jumped upon this and accused him of murdering his servant and using the blood to bake matzahs. The authorities believed them and threw the innocent Jew into jail. No questions were asked. The police tortured him, trying to extract a confession. At first, he resisted firmly, holding out under the pain and suffering. He refused to confess to a crime he had not committed. But with time, he grew weaker. He longed for the suffering to cease. There came a time when he felt that death would be a sweet release from the terrible tortures, and so he finally gave in, signing the confession which the police had drawn up. The court held a quick trial. Since he had already confessed, the judge sentenced the guilty Jew to death. But before the punishment could be carried out, the prince of the region had to sign the death warrant. Surprisingly, though, the prince begged for a delay. "In a few days," he said, "there is going to be a horse fair in the city. I have heard that this innkeeper is an expert on horses. I want to take him along with me to the fair to buy some horses. After that, I will sign the death warrant and you can carry out the death sentence." The authorities had no choice but to wait until after the fair. A few days later, the prince took the Jewish prisoner and traveled to the fair to buy some horses. The Jew did not forget for a moment that he was a prisoner sentenced to death, for he had two armed guards by his side all the while. The fair itself lasted for several days. On one of those days, as the Jew was inspecting a group of horses, he suddenly saw a familiar figure. He rubbed his eyes, not believing what they told him. He ran up to the man. There was his servant, the one whom he had been accused of murdering. Master and servant fell upon one another's necks, weeping with joy. "Oh, master," said the servant, "how glad I am to see you! How I long to return to you! I have had a terrible time. You probably wondered what had happened to me and assumed that I had run away. But I would never run away from you. You treated me like a father does a son. You fed me well, clothed me, and paid me decently. But a priest persuaded me to come with him and promised that he would give me a plot of land of my own and a house. I did not even consider his offer, knowing that I was best off with you. And so he came one night with some other men, tied me up, threw me into a wagon, and carried me far away. No house and field were awaiting me there like they promised. No such thing. They threw me out and drove off quickly. After much effort, I succeeded in freeing myself. I was in a strange city. Since then, I have been wandering the roads, begging my bread. How I longed to return to you, but the road back was long, and I had not a penny with which to travel." "What brought you here to the horse fair?" his master asked. "It's strange that you ask. I had no intentions of coming here. But last night, an elderly Jew stopped me on the road and asked me if I wanted a lift. I climbed into his wagon and sat there next to his attendant. I was so tired that I fell asleep, not caring where I was going. When morning dawned, the old man woke me up and said, 'Here we are at the horse fair. You will find your master here.' And so here I am. I have been wandering around all day looking for you. How glad I am to have found you. Please take me back with you. If you do not, I will die of starvation." The innkeeper realized immediately that the elderly Jew had been none other than his amazing guest, Reb Leib Sarez. He took his servant to a restaurant and let him eat his fill, bidding him to remain there until he came to fetch him. Meanwhile, he returned to the prince, who was waiting for him. "My business is all finished," said the prince. "I have selected excellent horses, thanks to you, but now we must return." The two men entered the coach. Suddenly, the horses reared. They were unmanageable. The Jewish innkeeper turned to the prince and said, "At the fair, I met a man who has an excellent hand with horses. I believe that he could control these wayward horses. Shall I fetch him?" The prince agreed. The Jew ran back to the fair and quickly returned in the company of his servant. The servant climbed up on the driver's seat and took hold of the reins. Immediately, the high-spirited animals became calm and they were soon underway. While still on the road, the prince turned to the Jew and said, "Do you recall the visit you paid me several months ago, bidding me to come to your inn because an old Jew wished to see me?" "Oh yes, I remember that well," the innkeeper nodded. "Did you ever wonder what he said to me when we were alone in the room?" "Of course I did," said the Jew. "He asked me for just one favor. He said that the time would come when you would be imprisoned and I would be asked to sign your death warrant. When that time came," he said, "I was to request a delay until after we went to the annual horse fair.
That was all. Can you understand that request? It was strange to me at the time, and it is still a riddle. I don't know why I agreed. Perhaps because I saw that he was a saintly person. And when his prediction came true, I had no choice but to keep my promise. I thought that this trip would help you somehow, but here we are, returning from the fair, and nothing has changed. When we arrive, I will have to turn you over to the authorities. Of what purpose, then, was this trip? Can you explain this to me? The Jew was calm, far less excited than the puzzled prince. When we get back, he said, I will have my defense all ready. Do you know, Your Highness, who the new wagoner is? He is the missing servant, who I am accused of having murdered. He was kidnapped by a priest and taken far, far away. They thought that if he ever returned, I would already be dead. If you don't believe me, you can ask my servant yourself. The prince was astounded at the turn of events, all the more so when he learned who had brought the servant to the fair. That elderly Jew was truly a godly person, a prophet, he said. I see that there is a God in Israel who protects his people. But why did you confess to the murder if you were innocent? You hurt not only yourself, but your people. The Jew burst out tearfully. I was tortured in prison. I was beaten, starved, cursed. It became so unbearable that I prefer to die rather than to continue suffering. It just goes to show how valid are these confessions extracted from us by the police. The rest of the trip passed in pleasant conversation, and before they knew it, they had reached their destination. The prince drove straight to the authorities and demanded that a special court session be convened to review the case. Then he produced the new evidence, the murdered servant. He related all that had happened, and the judges had no choice but to free the Jew with their apologies.